afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, you know how Scripture says, do not fear, over and over and again, and we encourage each other, don't fear, but more often than not, it just feels impossible not to fear. When you look around at the news headlines and you let your own fears get the best of you, well, I got to tell you, so honored to have as my guest today the U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black. I consider him a modern-day prophet, and I'm just honored to have him with us. He's got an amazing book. He's going to talk about principles and prayers that will help us thrive in a threatening world. A powerful conversation is up ahead. In fact, I don't even want to waste another moment. Let me read an excerpt from his beautiful book, Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. He writes, perhaps you're wondering why our good shepherd would send his lambs out among wolves. Perhaps it's because our shepherd knows that hardship builds strength and character. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he gave them power to heal the sick, cast out demons, and proclaim the good news to the people they encountered. Though we don't have all the answers, we know that the one who sends us out is too wise to make a mistake. We can, therefore, face our threatening world without fear. You are in for a treat today. Let me tell you about my guest today, and we'll get him on the show. Chaplain Barry Black is the 62nd chaplain of the U.S. Senate. Prior to coming to Capitol Hill, Chaplain Black served as the U.S. Navy for served in the U.S. Navy for more than 27 years, ending his career as the chief of Navy chaplains. Chaplain Black is married to the former Brenda Purcell of St. Petersburg, Florida. They have three sons, Barry the Second, Brendan, and Bradford. Chaplain Barry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm delighted to be with you.
Honored to have you with us as well, sir. And we love to start our conversation talking Scripture. And we love to do this because it brings the Word to life when we hear our guests' different just thoughts on a passage that God's been speaking to them about these days. And you chose Matthew 10:1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction. Love for you to talk to us about that passage.
Well, I think, Susie, that this is a passage that infuses me with confidence because it is a reminder that our authority is delegated to us by an almighty power, you know, and our Savior, who died for us, equips us for what we need to have to bring glory to his name in the earth. And it reminds me of the passage in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, where the Bible speaks of how God equipped Daniel and his friends to do ministry in Babylon. He gave them the ability to understand languages and literature. He gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams, even as he gave Joseph in Genesis chapter 40, the ability to interpret dreams. So it is a reminder to people of faith that we are not in this challenging world all by ourselves, but we serve a Christ who in his pre-existent form spoke a world into existence. The 33rd Psalm says, by the words of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. And John chapter 1 tells us of Jesus, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So if that does not infuse you with confidence, I don't know what will, because we serve a God who can basically do the impossible. Nothing is too difficult for him.
Boy, good word. And the truth of the matter is, Anne Voskamp has written this, a number of other authors have as well, that we behold what we become. And we become what we behold. Whatever we fixate and focus on, it just absorbs into our core perspective, our core beliefs. And I got to tell you, your book, you make such a strong biblical case that there is nothing to fear. And I felt like after each chapter, my faith was infused again to believe God for the impossible. I want to know your backstory, if you would, Chaplain Black. Just tell us a bit about what growing up was like for you, how you came to Christ.
Well, I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. It was in the inner city, and I actually was in the same neighborhood, the Freddie Gray neighborhood that exploded. You will recall, and had some problems. I think it was either 2015 or last year. This young man was in a police van and somehow died, and there was a riot in that area. Well, that's the area that I grew up in. That's the area that I went to church in. And my mother sought to prepare her children. I have seven siblings, and she tried to prepare her eight children for the challenges of the environment of that subculture. And so she provided a monetary incentive for us to memorize scripture. She would give us 5 cents a verse. And as a result of that, if you'll talk to my siblings or to me, you will discover that we all quote scripture because it's our native tongue. My mother gave us those nickels, and there's nothing like money to provide motivation. But the amazing thing was we met the Christ of the Bible, and that made all of the difference in the world. She also ensured that we matriculated at Christian schools. So from grade one all the way through graduate school, my siblings and I matriculated at Christian schools. And it was probably the greatest gift she could have given us. I wouldn't take $10 million for what I received from my mother in getting to know Christ through his word, being able to avoid pitfalls because of the word of God, being able to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that I'm never alone. I am never alone. 27 years in the Navy, sometimes deployed away from home for 6 months at a time. But there is a Savior who is with us, Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. So this was the amazing gift that she gave us. She gave us a friendship God of the universe.
You know, it's absolutely brilliant what she did, because those nickels didn't even compare to the treasure that was being stored in your heart and the fruit of the living word alive in you, and truly teaching you, preparing you to be sent. I mean, the first section of your book is Prepare to be Sent. She sure did that for you. Talk about other ways we can, you know, lean into the preparation to be sent and what you mean there.
Well, I think that when we think of preparing to be sent, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of person is God looking for? You just can't send anybody into a predatory world, even though, unfortunately, the nature of our world, because of the presence of the demonic, is predatory. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We get an idea of what God is looking for in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the four soils. And we know that the seeds are being planted by the sower or the farmer, but there are different kinds of soil. There's wayside soil, there's rocky soil, there's thorny soil, as well as good soil. And it is the good soil that is productive. But the fact that only 25% of the ground is good soil means that 75% of our labors will not be very effective. Even the seeds that germinate among the thorns are choked by the thorns. So you see the plant, but then it is choked by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. And so we have to say, how do I become good soil? How do I become soil that God wants me, that God wants to use? And of course, one way is to make sure that the negative aspects of the other soil, the three other kinds of soil, they're not in our lives, that we don't allow the deceitfulness of riches, that we don't allow the cares of this life, that we don't allow lust for other stuff to choke the dream that God places in us, that we don't allow the devil to snatch away the word of God that is planted in our hearts because the soil is not deep enough. So it's a reminder that we should try to keep our devotional life strong. Even our Lord, Mark 1:35, would get up a great while before day and go out into a solitary place and there pray. It means that we must watch as well as pray. I think if Peter had not slept in Gethsemane, he may not have denied his Lord three times. But Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he said to Peter, when you are converted, not if, strengthen your brothers and your sisters. So becoming good soil instead of thorny, rocky, or wayside soil, that should be the goal of those who are preparing to be sent by God into the midst of a predatory challenge.
Powerful. Talking to Chaplain Barry Black today. Amazing book. He's written hardcover, beautiful book titled Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. This will put adrenaline into your soul. It's a fantastic book. Wish we had more copies to offer you because it's such a great book. I want everybody to read it, but we've got three. So email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. If you've got a question for the chaplain, you can include it as well. On the other side, we'll talk about what it means to be wise as a serpent and talk about some of the fearless principles of navigating life in a predatory world. More with Chaplain Barry Black in a minute. Having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Honored to be talking to U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry C. Black. He's written an amazing book titled Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. We've got three copies of this really, truly amazing hardcover book. Email if you'd like in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. One of the charges you give us is to be wise as a serpent, which is, of course, straight from Scripture. But I want you to talk about what it means, because you said a serpent seems to know his enemies and navigates in a way to avoid them. So love some practical application here, if you would.
Well, I think that to be wise as a servant means to have a tough mind. And we many times, Jesus said, I'm sending you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves, which is an amazing challenge right there. I mean, a lamb stands no chance against a wolf, let alone wolves. But then he says, be wise as serpents. And he's basically saying you need to have a tough mind. You need to navigate and realize that there are dangers lurking, that there are adversaries. A snake avoids danger. He avoids enemies. He knows, or the snake knows, that you know it's a threat, and that it is also threatening. So it's able to slip and slide and pretty much succeed in slippery places because the snake is not naive regarding the danger. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all those who live godly will suffer persecution. Our blessed Lord says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Well, if you're so naive as to think you're in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, you've got a problem because you're not being as wise as a serpent. And a great example of that is Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. He seemed to have been clueless that he had brothers who wanted to kill him. So here are siblings with homicidal thoughts, and Joseph is totally unaware of that. Now, God brings him through that, and praise God for Romans 8:28, in everything God is working for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his promises. But Susie, we have to make sure that we are wise as a serpent. And we see that with the Apostle Paul. Once people were about to flog Paul, but Paul was wise as a serpent. He said, do you mean to tell me that you're going to flog a Roman citizen? And they said, you're a citizen of Rome? We didn't know that. So Paul used that knowledge to spare himself a beating. The Bible says in Romans 12:1 that God is looking for living sacrifices. He's not looking for people who are attempting to rush toward martyrdom. Another example of being wise as a serpent is in Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, when the chief administrator of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, a pagan dictator, said to Daniel, you have to eat from the king's table. You have to eat the king's food and drink the king's wine. Daniel did not just say, we're not going to do it and risk execution. Daniel was wise as a serpent. He said, you know, I'm glad that the king is interested in the health of his subjects. He said, test us for 10 days. Test me and my friends for 10 days and see if our plan is as good as the king's plan. He worked out a win-win, wise as a serpent, and was able to succeed in those slippery places. So we need that tough-mindedness and that ability to recognize that if we can work out a win-win, we should work out a win-win. Have a tough mind and a tender heart.
And boy, that goes to show you, Chaplain, that there's not a one-size-fits-all answer for every situation. We've got to be in step with the Holy Spirit. He will give us wisdom for the moment if we keep that ear bent towards Him. I mean, that really is the key, isn't it, to being wise as a serpent?
He leads and guides us into all truth, the Bible says.
So good. Okay, I've asked Chaplain Black to be reading prayers because at the end of each chapter, he's got an amazing prayer. And his voice, between the two of us, I'm thinking you'd rather hear his voice than mine. So, Chaplain Black, if you go to your book on page 7, this particular chapter is about being wise. Would you read that prayer for us?
Okay, on page 7.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my pleasure. Mm-hmm. All right. O Lord, our God, giver of everlasting life, nothing can separate us from your limitless love. Empower us to reconcile life's opposites, making us wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Help us to remember that nothing is impossible to those who place their trust in you. May our faith create in us both the desire and the power to do your will. We praise your mighty name. Amen.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. So amazing. Okay, so Chaplain Black, just to give you a heads up, we'll be going to our bottom of the hour break in about 4.5 minutes. But let's talk about another preparation tactic that you outline in the book. I love this one. You say, prepare for some surprises. Say more.
Well, I think that as people of faith, we need to recognize that God has some surprises for each of us. And I think it's critically important that we realize that he wants to do, according to Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. And so we shouldn't just lean on our understanding, but in anticipating that God will direct our path, we need to also expect some surprises, positive surprises and negative surprises. You know, Joseph goes into prison in Genesis chapter 40, and surprise, surprise, there is a cupbearer and a baker both having dreams, and Joseph does not realize it, but by interpreting those dreams and having the right attitude when he went into prison, even though the charges were false, by interpreting those dreams, he was going to be surprised that in 2 years he would be prime minister of Egypt. Prepare for the unexpected. If you can think it, God's plan for your life is bigger than that, immeasurably, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. And so that's why we can rejoice even when we're faced with the predatory, with the challenging. Our Lord said in John 16:33, he says, in this world you will have trouble. Now, what would you expect to come after that? He says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Surprise, surprise, no matter how great the challenge, no matter how difficult the pushback, God is able to do for us more than we can ask or imagine, so that we can even celebrate when we walk, not run, but walk through the valley of the shadows, because a shadow can harm you, and our good shepherd is with us.
Boy, amen. You say we should expect the unexpected because God can do the impossible. If we need to take this answer to the other side, we sure can. We've got a couple minutes here, but I'd love to know how you've seen this reality play out in your own life, that expecting the unexpected because God can do the impossible.
Well, when I was 8 years of age, my mother, who was a domestic, brought home a record. The lady for whom she worked gave it to her. It was a narration record. I played it so many times that I actually memorized the record. It was a sermon by Peter Marshall, the 56th chaplain of the United States Senate. Now, if someone had told me that I would grow up to become a successor to Marshall, he was the 56th chaplain of the Senate, I'm the 62nd, I would have said impossible. But God has a way of surprising us, and he placed that marker in my life, so that when the will of God came to pass, I would know that God had this in his mind all along. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, and to bring you to an expected end. Surprise, surprise, he loves to surprise his children.
I hope that encourages you today. Chaplain Blackfurther writes, enjoy God's surprises, for he has promised not to withhold any good thing if we'll walk blamelessly. As you seek to stay fearless in a predatory world, enjoy the abundant living that God desires for you to experience as you give him your challenges and wake eagerly to follow his commands. Forget what lies behind you. That's history. Instead, reach towards the future, knowing that the best is yet to come. Isn't that good news? We really are called to live fearlessly in this predatory world. Talking to Chaplain, U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry C. Black, author of the book Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. And I'm telling you, this man writes like he speaks. I would love to get a copy in your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. Thanks for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored to be talking to Chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Barry C. Black. He's written an amazing book. It's a beautiful hardcover book, packed with wisdom. It's titled Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. And I love this one, this fearless principle, that I just feel like this part of Jesus' character isn't talked about enough. You say that we should expect the unexpected because God loves a good time, as he demonstrated through the first recorded miracle performed by Jesus. Say more, if you would.
Well, I think that very often, Susie, we are under the impression that God is trying to pour water on our parade. And it's very, very interesting that his first miracle happened at a wedding feast. And a wedding feast that in those days lasted for an entire week. So here was basically Jesus at a protracted party. And when they ran out of wine, it was Jesus who performed the miracle. One would say that, you know, it seemed like a superficial kind of miracle, actually. You know, he didn't restore a lame person or open the eyes of the blind or raise the dead. He simply provided a way that the people who had sponsored this party would not be embarrassed because they had run out of refreshment. That's the kind of joyous Savior that we have. And he wants to bring the same kind of excitement and the same kind of joyfulness to our lives. He said in John 10, I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. He said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he says, I've got water for you so that you'll never have to come back to this well again, because that water will be a spring inside of you. It will bubble up into everlasting life. That is the kind of joy that he wants us to have. That is the kind of fulfillment that he wants us to have. And I will tell you from my experience with him, you love him more and more as the seasons of life go by, because you realize how precious he is, and you realize that he is rooting for you like no one else can. Romans 8:32 says, if God did not withhold his own son, what the Greek calls the monogenes, the only one of its kind, if God did not withhold Christ from us, what else would he withhold? Do you actually think that there is something meaningful, significant, and joyous that he does not want us to experience? So that is why we can be excited by this God who loves to surprise us. Luke 11 says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, Luke 11:13, how much more is your heavenly Father eager to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? He wants us to have the companionship, the fellowship, the wisdom, the fruit of his Holy Spirit. He is a gift-giving heavenly daddy.
Wow. My heart is just beating. I mean, you think about, as you're talking, Chaplain Black, I'm thinking of the scripture that says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And I wonder why, if we get to fear because we forget that he's love. But when you spend time thinking, as you say, he's rooting for you like no one else can. He withholds no good thing. When you meditate on those truths, it does put fire in your soul. It does strengthen your heart, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, particularly in a crazy world like we
Indeed.
Are living in. I've often told people, God is not on his throne, not my God, wringing his hands, saying to the Holy Spirit and to the Son, what in the world are we going to do? You know, there's a hymn that we sing in my tradition, this is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet.
Amen. Okay, it's time for our friends to hear you pray another prayer from your book. I'm looking at page 16. As we're talking about just God being the God of surprises, that we should be expecting to be surprised. And one of the things Chaplain Black says is, in this fearless challenge, is give Jesus your challenges, practice prompt obedience, and expect God to save the best for last. It's a lie if you're believing that the best has already come and gone. Expect God to save the best for last. So, Chaplain, are you on page 16 of your book?
Okay, page 16.
Buckle up, friends. Listen to him.
Right.
Read. Okay. Go ahead.
Eternal God, thank you for the joy of your surprises. You do more for us than we can ask or imagine. Keep our hearts steadfast toward you. Lead us safely to the refuge of your choosing, for we know you desire to give us a future and a hope. Today, give us the power to do your will as we more fully realize that we are servants of heaven and stewards of your mysteries and your blessings. Give us the wisdom to make our faith the litmus test by which we evaluate each action. As we refuse to deviate from the path of integrity, keep us from being careless about our spiritual and moral growth. We trust in your mighty name. Amen.
So powerful. If you just tuned in, That's U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black. He's written an amazing book, Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. And I loved this, Chaplain. You said, few things help us stay fearless in a threatening world more than knowing that God desires to use us for his glory. So, yes, this is a predatory world. Yes, there's bad news on the headlines, but he desires to use us for his glory. Say more, if you would.
Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31, Susie, says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. It's not about us. It's about our beloved and sovereign Creator. And so on the battlefield in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said to Goliath, this day God will give you into my hands that the whole earth will know that the Lord saves not with sword or spear or shield, but that the battle belongs to God. Now, we face Goliaths also, but the battle belongs to God. The glory belongs to God. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:13 through 16 that we are to be two things, salt and light. Salt makes the food more flavorful. Light illuminates. And the beauty is that the illumination of light through us is the reflected glory of God, even as the moon reflects the light of the sun. And so we need to recognize that when we let our light shine, it is so that people can see our good works and glorify, Matthew 5:16, our Father who is in heaven. And when someone praises us for something that we have done, we should immediately deflect the praise to the one who has given us the ability, the gifts, the talent. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you have not received? And if you received it, why are you boasting about it? So praise God, the kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to him.
So good. You mentioned this in the book as well, Chaplain Black, about having an appropriate reverence for God actually puts our fears in perspective. And once again, you can see how the lines have gotten so blurred in our culture that the idea of approaching God with reverence has seemed to be almost outdated, but it's not. So speak to the connection between a right fear of God, putting our other fears in proper place.
Yes, it is. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, it is not talking about cringing trepidation. It is talking, Susie, about reverential awe. It's talking about what Isaiah experienced. Isaiah was enamored by a charismatic king, Uzziah, who was king for over 50 years. So this was the only king that Isaiah knew. But he says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. God took him into the throne room of throne rooms in vision, and he said he saw seraphim, six-winged creatures, two wings. They covered their faces, two wings they covered their feet, and two wings with which they flew. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone in the presence of God. He was in awe. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. And praise God, he had a transformative experience because of reverential awe. God is not our buddy. He's not the man upstairs or some of these more informal and colloquial ways that we refer to him. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign God of the universe. And one day, Philippians chapter 2, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need that kind of reverence. And when in the Our Father we are taught to pray, hallowed be your name, it is an awareness of a reverential awe. that we should have when we approach God. It's that awe that Peter had in Luke chapter 5 after the miraculous catch of the fish. So many fish that he had to get help to bring it in. Peter said to Jesus, realizing who he was, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." That is the reverential awe that we should have for our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely amazing. When we come back, we're going to talk about part of the fearless principle is to pass life's tests. And there's some very practical advice ahead. Talking to U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black. I love this book. In fact, I think I'm taking it on vacation with me. Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. He builds a strong biblical case on why it's so important that we do not fear. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm blessed and honored to be talking to Chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Barry Black. He's written an amazing book titled Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. And you know this, if you listen often enough, I go through 8 to 10 books every single week. So I'm getting through a lot of books. This is one of those standout books I want you to have so much. We've got 3 copies. So email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Chaplain Black, you talk about the idea of living fearlessly is very connected to passing life's test. In fact, you devote a whole chapter to this idea, and it really does connect back to the parable of the soils you referenced earlier, that when the storms come and the plant is uprooted, it's because the roots aren't deep enough. At some point, we've got to grow up in our, you know, we've got to grow up and let the roots go down so we can pass life tests. So say more if you would.
Well, when I was in the military, once every 3 months, we had a physical readiness test. And we would prepare for that physical readiness test. We had to run 3 miles. We had to do 67 push-ups. We had to do 100 sit-ups in 2 minutes. And so it was by expecting to be tested and preparing for the test that we were able to pass the test. Well, we are tested in life, particularly in a threatening world. And if we're so naive as to not expect to be tested, then we are not as wise as serpents. You look at the various people in Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Each was tested: Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Barak. You go down the list, Abel. They were tested, and so we will be tested. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No test has come to you that is not common." Now, in the King James Version, that's rendered "no temptation," but temptation and test are often used synonymously. That temptation does not just mean seduction to evil, it also means to test something. "There is no test that has come to you that is not common. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tested beyond that which you are able, but will, with the test, provide a way of escape that you will be able to bear it." And so that's what taking up our cross voluntarily, not having a compulsory cross. Matthew 16:24, "If anyone would come after me," our Lord says, "let him or her deny self, take up his or her cross, and follow me." That's preparing for the test. And a key to that is to be faithful in the little things. Okay? You pass the pop quizzes, you'll be ready for the big exams. And very often, God will use a small test to see if you're ready for elevation, for promotion. Joseph had to wait 2 years in prison before God sent Pharaoh a dream that got Joseph out of prison. Now, God could have sent Pharaoh that dream, Genesis chapter 40, the next week or the next month. But Joseph never murmured or complained. He passed the test. God said to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, 6 and 7, he says, I'm going to test your soldiers. There were 10,000 of them by that time. He said, take them down to the water, and I will try them for you there. Ask them to drink water. God was able, through that small test, to know which soldiers he could use and which he could not. 9,700 of them did not drink water properly, and God said, these are the 300 I can use, but I can't use these 9,700, which must have astonished poor Gideon. Imagine that. The sovereign can watch how we drink water, a little thing, and tell whether or not he can use us. So we must be ready to pass the test.
Fantastic. Another principle you outline there is practicing self-denial. You know, self-restraint, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And quite frankly, it seems like self-restraint needs to make a comeback in our day. Speak to just make that charge for us as believers. Just because we can eat it doesn't mean we should. Just because we can watch it, buy it, whatever, doesn't always mean we should. We need to be saying no to ourselves and making ourselves deal with it with those on those pop quizzes before the big tests come.
Exactly, Susie. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I keep my body under and make it my slave. Too many of us are slaves to our bodies instead of our bodies being our slave.
Boy, another one you said suggests in the chapter about conquering fear was stay open to new ideas. And again, I don't think we realize how used to our same thought patterns we are, but to expect to be surprised, expect the unexpected, to believe that God can do the impossible requires that we stay open to new ideas. So say more, if you would.
Well, I think that we sometimes we're closed-minded, and so we're not open to new possibilities. We don't think them through. And an example of this is in 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman. Elisha, the prophet, tells Naaman, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. The Jordan is a muddy river. It doesn't have the beauty and the crystal clear waters, the beautiful and crystal clear waters of the rivers in Naaman's country, and so Naaman is upset. Why would he ask me to do this? I mean, you know, this hocus-pocus stuff. He was not open to new ideas. And a servant of Naaman said, Master, if he had asked you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have been willing to do that? And the light bulb came on, and Naaman opened himself to that new idea. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan and received a miraculous cleansing from his leprosy. There is no better way to be ready for new ideas and to expose ourselves to new ideas than to fall in love with the precious Word of God, because we will have ideas like treasure. It is just a wonderful book to illuminate the path ahead. The 119th Psalm 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path.
Excellent. Here's another point that's so important. I wish we could spend even more time on it. Cultivate an exceptional faith. Speak to the person who says, I want that, don't really know how to get there.
Well, our blessed Lord said in Matthew 17:20, he said to his disciples, they wanted to know, why couldn't we cast the demon out of this little boy while you were up on the Mount of Transfiguration? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of faith. He said, because if you had faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain and move it. That's how critical, that's how important faith is. So how do you increase your faith? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more we expose ourselves to the faith-giving, transformative power of the word of God, the more our faith will increase. And we will discover that we can do things that we never imagined possible because of the power of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is the only spiritual attribute. If you don't have it, you cannot please God. I think one of the reasons, Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by faith you are saved It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the means by which God saves us. And so you please God with your faith. And I think, Susie, the greater the request of God, I think, the more you please him. It's like the centurion. He said, Jesus, I want you to come to my home. No, I want you to come and heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, I'm on my way. And he said, no. We don't have to waste time. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says Jesus was astonished at the people in his hometown. And the Bible says in Mark 6, 6, he could not, Jesus could not, not would not, Jesus could not do many mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief. Their faith deficit put handcuffs on deity. That's how important faith is.
Boy, absolutely amazing. One more question before we wrap and pray. You talk about when faced with enemy opposition, we need to trust in the authority of Jesus. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, there is a name that is above every name,
Amen.
Susie.
Amen.
And that name is so powerful that demons tremble when you say Jesus. That's why when I preach a sermon, I like to get the name of Jesus out very early, at least in the introduction, if not before.
Amen.
Because I want demons to tremble at the power of that name. That name can give us power to overcome any obstacle and enable us to survive any danger. Okay? Just the name of Jesus. And he says, if you ask it in my name, I'm going to do it. That's the password that you need to get things done in heaven and in earth. The name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Well, sir, I can't even express what an honor it has been to have you on the show today. And I'm just so grateful God has put you in such a position of influence. As we wrap, I'm wondering if you would do us the honor of praying for our nation. We could just join with you and agree with you and appeal to God Most High for the sake of this great country.
I certainly will. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we are so blessed to lift our hearts right now and intercede for this great land we love, America. Oh God, you said in Proverbs 14:34, it is righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so, oh God, help us to see that moral living is a matter of national security. And may we, oh God, accept and implement your promise in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where you said, if my people, not everyone, just my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh God, give us the fervency to seek your face and turn from evil, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Oh God, bring healing to our nation. Bring healing to our world. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in that name that is above every name,